Let's turn now in God's Word to Job, if you have your Bibles, to Job chapter 10. And we will be reading the whole chapter, Job chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. Job chapter 10. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. So let's give our attention to them, for they are perfectly sufficient for all of faith and life. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity, and searchest after my sin. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me, and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, and thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little, before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Those are God's words to us from His servant Job. Well, Job continues his response as he had started his response in chapter 9. Again, not interacting with Bildad's comments in chapter 8, but his words here are directed toward Jehovah. And in that, we can say he's praying. He makes complaint of his hardships he's under through verse 7, and yet acknowledging that he's in the hand of Jehovah alone. Through verse 13, those hands of Jehovah bring comfort to Jehovah, to Job. Hands that have given him life and blessing. And yet through verse 17, again he makes his complaint and calls upon the just God. And he's also, we see in this passage, filled with confusion as to what has happened. As if Jehovah, who has granted Job life, is now hunting him, and that all are against Job. And yet once again comforted that death would bring an end to all of his troubles. Which implies what? That he has hope in the hereafter. He had hope to be with the Lord forever. Even in his complaint, he has a hope in the resurrection. But isn't this teaching us something about those who come under great suffering and affliction? That there is with them in the midst of affliction often great confusion. That there are times, even when they may speak, and they don't even remember what they've spoken. That's what Job reveals to us. And the reason we ought to be all the more compassionate and gentle with those in affliction, unlike Job's friends, the ones we've heard so far, Eliphaz and Bildad. What we consider Job, what dark providences to go through. And yet, like Job, if we go through them, we ought to remember to continue to put our hope in the life to come when you will be delivered from such suffering. Let's pray. Our Father, there is much we can learn from Job in the chapters 3 through 10 now and following. Our Father, we ask that you would help us to learn the ways of suffering, even the trials that and the struggles Job is going through here, struggling in sin, confusion, but certainly great pain and torment of soul and body. And Father, some of us understand this. Some of us sort of grasp it from afar, having never actually gone through it, but seen and been with people who have. And some of us have never been afflicted in such a way like Job, or even to a percentage of what Job has gone through. But Father, we ask that you would build us up as we continue in this book, and you would teach us your ways, that we would be compassionate and gentle with those who are in affliction, that our words would be encouragements to them in Christ, to continue fleeing to Christ, running to Christ, for there in Him and in you, Father, and your Spirit, only in you will we find comfort, or will any find comfort. And so in that we plead for those here who don't know you. Some are children, some grown children, and some adults. And Father, we pray for their souls, that they would love you and run to Christ your Son for their salvation. We pray that you would give them a grasp and understanding of their sin and their wretchedness, their wickedness and evil that is within them, in their minds, in their hearts, even in their desires, desiring that which they know is wrong, which is sin, and know the right and they know the truth, but they've suppressed it. And yet they continue practicing it and encourage others to practice evil as well. My Father, turn their hearts to you. So send your Spirit and change their hearts. For only you can change the heart. And Father, we ask also that today you would be with our souls, each one here. They're really no different than the unbeliever. Our duty is to flee to Christ from our sin. And we must do that daily. We must do that this very day. Even as we've broken your commandments, all of them, in thought, word, and deed, even this very day, even this very moment, the very last moment, we've broken all your commandments. And the very last moment again, we've broken all your commandments once again, because we are so frail and so weak in righteousness. And yet for many we praise you. Many you are sanctifying. Many you are cleansing of their sin. Many you are, by your Spirit, putting to death the sins that remain in the flesh. The Spirit is waging war against our flesh. and you are winning the victory. And consistently and constantly, righteousness is being done. Good works are coming forth, and we give you praise for this. As we can look unto our lives and see that the Spirit is testifying with our spirits that we are children of God and heirs. And if heirs, join heirs with Christ your Son. But we heard last Lord's Day that provision at the end of that verse in Romans 8. Now, we are heirs only if we suffer with Christ, knowing with the great promise that we'll be glorified together with Him. And so, Father, we pray that You would cause us to take up our crosses and follow Jesus, Your Son. If You are in Your providence to bring affliction, then send it. And that we pray that we would receive it well. We pray if we are to be persecuted, in which You promise that we will be if we are Your children. And we pray that You would send it and we would receive it well and respond, as we heard last Lord's Day, with rejoicing, that we were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, for righteousness' sake. And so work in our souls, Father, by Your Spirit, and fill us with Your grace. But Father, we also pray for our bodies, for we are not only souls, we are bodies too. And we ask for Your help. We're thankful as we consider our prayers in the past of the many who have been sick or were sick. We praise You that You've healed Jake and Oliver. Father, we're thankful that You are the God who has given a good report for Patricia and her cancer, and that she'll only need to go through two more treatments. And Father, we pray that You would strengthen her and give her the energy and the healing that her body needs, that the cancer would be completely gone, even now. And Father, we ask that You would now be with Joanna, that You would help her and her not feeling well. We ask that You would strengthen her body, and she might even be here this evening with us. And we ask that You would be with Dina and her feet and also her long-term ailment. We're thankful that she is getting better by Your grace alone. But Father, we ask for Your continued and full healing at the right time. And Father, we ask for those who are not here this morning of our congregation that are supposed to be here, we ask that You would watch over them. That You would, if they're in sin and they're fleeing from You, that You would call them back to Yourself and show mercy. And that You would bring them to worship and not forsake the assembling together of the body of Christ. For those who might be sick, not feeling well, we pray that You would heal them, just as we've prayed that many times for many others of this congregation. You've always healed. You've always answered our prayers. And even those who have long-term ailments, You've already answered them, because You're the God who hears and answers our prayers. We already know, guaranteed, the prayers are answered yes and amen in Christ, and You will answer them at the right time. So we can pray with faith, knowing You will do Your great healing for Your people. And Father, we ask that You would cause us to live righteous lives for Christ, Your Son. That we would live well for Your glory and die well. And Father, we pray for the church, this congregation, particularly right now, that You would turn our hearts to You, that You would grow us in number. Again, we pray this, we know that we do not seek our own glory, or that we might be able to say, look how big our church is, or this congregation. That is not our goal. And if it is, it should not be our goal. If it is, forgive us of our sin of pride, and selfishness. But Father, we look in hope of your promises of calling all nations to yourself. And so we desire that all nations would hear the gospel. And so we pray that we would grow, that more people would hear the gospel here, but also that we would be able to plant another church and call another minister, and that the gospel would be proclaimed there as well. And that we would continue spreading and reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, we do ask that you would provide for us all of our needs in which we struggle. Even today, we pray that you'll provide elders and deacons, a new treasurer, more presenters. Father, we ask that you would be glorified as we not only come worshiping you now, but we pray that we would enjoy our time of fellowship, that we pray that our conversation after worship would be a blessing to each other, that we would be in our conversation talking about the sermon, talking about you, talking about your word. And Father, we ask that your name would be praised in that time. When often we converse about worldly things, Father, may our conversation be fruitful for this, the Lord's day, and for our souls. And Father, now as we continue worshiping you, may your name be given all praise. As we exalt in Christ your Son, our Lord and our Savior, may his name be given all praise. That he would have the glory and not we ourselves. And that you would humble us before your throne. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.